Hello there.
Right, so we're doing another lockdown service, which is online. You're very welcome to it. This is the one for the children in Ignite who are in reception going up to year six. So before we get started, let's play a little game and see whether you can think of the item that I am thinking of. This is an item that you find, and this is the first clue. It's something that you find in the sitting room or living room of the house. So, that's for 5 points. If you get it right away, you'll get 5 points. For 4 points, it's something that is rectangular shaped. So it's shaped like a rectangle. I hope that helps. For 3 points, you do not find it in every house. So this is not something you find in every house. So that might mess up a little bit of what you were thinking of. For 2 points, you get light and heat from this thing. And for 1 point, it can be smoky. Alright, did you manage to guess what it was? If you guessed that I was thinking of a fireplace, then you're correct. Well done. That was just for fun, really get your mind thinking and moving. So we are currently looking at things that Christians should know. And this is the sixth one. And today we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer. And this one's for July the 19th. So the Lord's Prayer is found in two parts of the Bible. There are two versions of it that are recorded in our Bible. And one of them is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. And the second one is in Luke chapter 11, verse 2. The one in Luke sort of is a little bit easier to understand how Jesus ended up talking to the disciples about this. Because just before this, Jesus had gone off to pray. And while he was, so he went off to pray, and when he had finished, came back to the disciples, and one of them said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." So this just reminds us that sometimes we see things that other people are doing that are good, and it's good if we follow in their footsteps. If we see somebody doing good things and we want to learn how to do that, then we should try and find out how they do it so that we can do the same. And the disciples obviously saw how much peace and joy and power Jesus got from prayer. So they wanted to learn, how to do it. And really the Lord's Prayer is a guide to how to pray. It's not necessarily that you say this prayer in this way every time, but it's supposed to teach us a pattern of praying. So in the prayer, there are seven requests for things, seven times when we're asking for different things. So we're just going to go through the Lord's Prayer and just talk about it as we go. I am going to use the version in Matthew. There's very little difference between the two, but I'm going to use the one in Matthew chapter 6, starting from verse 9. And Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "This then is how you should pray." In that version, he has just been saying about how not to pray. About that you should not pray in public and you shouldn't pray for other people's benefit. You shouldn't pray and use too many words. You should just keep things simple, because God already knows what you need before you ask him. And then in verse 9, he says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Right, so that first part in saying our Father, Jesus is helping us to remember the relationship that we have with God. God wants us to be his children so we can call him Father. And as a father, we are reminding ourselves that he's our Father. He's not a father of someone else who's distant and far away. We are supposed to relate very closely to God as our Father. It's a very personal relationship and a very close relationship. And we have to acknowledge the fact that he is in heaven, that he is far above where we are. So this first part is just acknowledging that although God is our Father and we can relate to him, he is still someone of authority and deserves our respect. And the second part of that says the same thing. It says, "Hallowed be your name." So it's just saying that again to say your name is very holy. Your name is not a name that we just take for granted. If you think back to what we were talking about the Ten Commandments last week, where we were saying that we should not use God's name anyhow. You know, we should be careful how we treat God and how we treat his name. So that first part is just acknowledging that. And then it says, "Your kingdom come." So the first thing that we're asking for, the first request is, "Hallowed be your name." Asking God that, "Help me to make your name holy. Help me to appreciate and to respect you the way you deserve." The second part, the second request is, "Your kingdom come." This is asking for God's authority in our life, that your kingdom come in this place, come and take, come and be the king of this place. So wherever we are and we pray this prayer, we're asking for God to be king and to be the authority over that place, so that it's not it's not us putting ourselves in charge of things, but we're asking God to come and take charge and to be in control. And the second part of that, which is the third request, says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now God is king and ruler of heaven, and he rules over it, and he oversees everything. So this part of the prayer, we're asking that God's will be done, that it's whatever God wants to be done should be done on earth, just like it is done in heaven. So we're asking that God come and take control, take charge, and what God wants should happen. So you know those times sometimes you pray and you don't get what you want, or you don't pray, you don't get the thing that you've asked for. Really, this is what we're asking for in this prayer. We're asking that not what we want to be done, but what God wants. And sometimes we might be asking for something that is not in line with God's will. So in this prayer, we're saying, "That's okay, God. If you choose, if my will is not in line with your will, or what I want is not what you want, I want what you want to happen and not what I want." So that's what we're asking for in that part of the prayer. And then that's all the parts where we're asking for God's authority and God's will to be done on this earth. And that's the part that sort of deals with God. Just like in the Ten Commandments that we talked about last week, that it was sort of divided into respecting God and then dealing with other people. And then now, here in verse 11, it starts talking about the things that we need, the things that we would ask for. First of all, it says, "Give us today our daily bread." And in that verse, it gives you the idea that you should be asking for these things every day, that you should be saying this prayer every day. As I said, you don't have to say the actual prayer, but you could change the words and make sure that maybe the first three things you ask for are things to do with honoring God and respecting Him. The second things you would ask for God's power to come and take control. And the third thing that, you know, you want the things that God wants. So once you've dealt with that, then you can start asking for the things that you need that day. Now, today, I might need strength, I might need wisdom, I might need lots of different things. And those are part of my daily bread. It's not just the food that I eat. Your daily bread that you need from God is also the right emotions to deal with difficult situations or to deal with difficult people in your life or around you, or to deal with disappointments. You might need strength or courage. All of those are part of the daily bread that you should be asking God for, because they're part of the things that help you to survive the day and to live through the day joyfully. So that's part of the daily bread. And in verse 12, it says, "And forgive us our trespasses," or our debts, which are the things that we have done wrong. And it says, as we forgive those who are our debtors, or the people that have done wrong to us. So in that one, you are making it a condition that you are remembering that God has forgiven you a lot of things. And because of that, you now have the power to forgive other people. So we're asking that, as much as you have forgiven me, God, help me to forgive other people in the same way. And God forgives us everything that we ask Him to forgive us. So we should be ready to forgive other people anything that they ask that we might have done wrong to them, or they have done wrong to us. So we should be ready to forgive people any amount of times. And even if it's something that feels like it was a really big thing that they did wrong to us, we should be ready to forgive them. Then the sixth part, the sixth petition, or the sixth thing that we ask for, is, "And lead us not into temptation." It's very easy to be tempted by things in this world. Sometimes we see things that we would like to have, and they might belong to other people. So we are tempted to steal, or sometimes we are tempted even by our bad thoughts, and we think bad things about other people. If they are horrible to us, or if they've done something that we don't like, we might think some horrible things about other people. So we're asking God here not to lead us into temptation. So we're asking Him that if there's anything that we can't see that's going to come and trip us up and make us sin, or make us think bad thoughts, or make us do wrong things, that God should turn us away from those situations. So even before we know there's any danger, we're asking God to keep us away from that danger, which would be really good. And then it says, "And deliver us from the evil one." Now, we know the devil is out there, and he's always trying to trick us. He's always trying to make us do something that pushes us away from God, because God cannot look on sin. If we do something wrong, God cannot be our friend, and He cannot be close to us. And we really need God to be close to us, because some of the things that might happen to us, or that might trip us up, we can't see them. And we need God to help us and to always be near us. So the last thing that we ask for is for God to deliver us from bad things that could happen to us. Now, if you know the Lord's Prayer, you know that it goes on to say, "For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." But in the versions of the Bible, that's actually not added on in the Bible. So there are lots of theories about when this was added on by different scholars and other people, just so that the Lord's Prayer then goes back to God again. So the focus goes back to God, and we say, Lord, I recognize that you have all the power, all the glory. So glory is like when good thing happens, who gets the trophy? Who gets the sort of pat on the back to say, well done, you've done something good. So even when we do something good, we should give the glory to God. We should go back and say, Lord, I know that it's only through your strength that you've helped me to do this good thing. So giving glory means it's like giving the certificate at the end of the day to say this person has done a good job. So we should give that certificate to God. We should give the glory to God. So we're saying, Lord, you have all the power to help me to be a good person. And any good thing that I do, you deserve the thanks for it. Thine is the power, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And again, we're going back to that kingdom of idea of asking God to come and be in charge of everything that concerns us. And then we say amen. Amen means let it be so. So that is the Lord's Prayer. It is good for Christians to know the Lord's Prayer and to be able to recite it, but even better to use it as a guide when you say your prayers to God. So you could start off by sort of saying, Our Father in heaven, God, I appreciate that you are my Father and that your name is the greatest name above every other name, that there is nothing that I need when I have you near me. I'm asking you now for this world and my life to work according to your will, and that if I want something that is against your will, that I will not get it. I will be happy with that. Help this world to work as well as the heavenly kingdom works. I ask you that you give me everything I need today. Give me strength, give me patience, help me to be calm, and help me to show love to other people. I pray that you will help me to forgive other people if they do wrong things to me, because you have forgiven me when I have done wrong things. And please help me to stay away from evil things that will trip me up and keep me away from you. And help me to stay away from the devil and not to go and be his friend. And thank you, O Lord, that you watch over me all the time. And I ask that you remind me that the power I have comes from you. Amen. So you can see there the last part where I was changing the Lord's Prayer to suit my personal needs and how I personally wanted to talk to God. So we can use the Lord's Prayer as a framework and as a guide to change our words so that we can say something more personal to God. So that's all we're going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer today. So I hope you found that useful, and I hope you are able to use it when you are saying your prayers to God. God bless you, and do take care. Bye.